We are on a series on the roadblocks and building blocks to a biblical relationship, healthy relationships. Relationships, brother to brother, physical, sister to sister, father to daughter. And then there's the spiritual relationships. We have a church family that is to be compacted together, that every joint supplieth energy, strength, ministering to one another. And there are things that get in the way of those relationships if we get careless about our investments in each other. If we get careless about our investments as a father to children, a mother to children, children to parents, and then spiritually, our family here at this church. And so last couple weeks, we looked at what was a stumbling block to healthy relationships. What was it? Last couple weeks. Oh, you're encouraging me, I'm telling you. What was the roadblock to relationship? Yes! Anger is a roadblock to biblical relationship. This week we're going to be looking at an unforgiving heart. An unforgiving heart. So we're going to be looking at the unforgiving heart, and you can't do that without looking at forgiveness, right? The gift of forgiveness, of salvation to you and I, is what imparts the power and ability to forgive others. When we think about forgiveness, we automatically go to, we have been offended. Something unjust has been done to us. And we're angry, hurt, depressed, discouraged, whatever, from that injustice. And we want the person who is doing such things to stop, and not only to stop, we want them to be charged and held guilty for their abusive behavior toward us. When we are the offenders, and we are offending those who are in the family of God or just family, we feel somewhat justified. And then if we know we're guilty of it, we want something. We want mercy and grace from those people that we have violated. Yet when we are the ones who need to give mercy and the grace, we want judgment. And that's the sin nature. That's what goes on. And there are many scriptural principles that deal with forgiveness and how we are to deal with it. You must maintain a forgiving heart. If we're going to be a healthy church, you must maintain a forgiving heart. Because here's what's going to happen. I'm going to offend you. And it's not because of my holy preaching. It's because I call you up and say, hey, I broke your favorite tool. Now hopefully I'd say I broke it and I replaced it and bought a new one, or I've called you up and said, how can I pay? But in our church family, those little things are going to happen. I lent that out and it got broke and I didn't even know it was broken. I return it broken, and the person who lent it out is hurt and offended that you didn't tell them. But because you didn't communicate, you're never going to lend to that person again because they didn't fix it or they didn't tell you, they lied to you. Well, how about the person who takes a rumor and thinks it's true and shares it? I heard Mike was down at the bar. And you told another friend who told another friend and told another friend. It's like, Mike? Mike was at the bar. But Mike was at the bar. But Mike was at the bar picking up a drunk, his brother, who he had to rescue and bring home and help him sober up. But we went and ruined his testimony by saying Mike was at the bar and stopped. Well, that's going to be a pretty hard thing to forgive because Mike has been living a lifetime making sure people know I don't drink to the glory of God. I don't go to bars. I honor God. And then to have his very testimony trashed because loose lips sink ships, he can't recover that, can he? And that's going to be hard to what?
Forgive.
It's going to be hard to forgive because he's been hurt unjustly. Have you? All right, I want a show of hands. We're not going to have a crying session. We're not going to have like come on and stroke the blanket and have a healing session. But how many of you have been hurt deeply, unjustly, unfairly in your lifetime? Okay. If you couldn't put your hand up, just wait, it's coming. Right? It's coming. Why? Because yea, and all those that live godly shall suffer persecution. It's just gonna, it's gonna happen. Okay. Well, we know that, Mike, but that's okay. Okay, so unjust things happen to you and hurt you deeply. And what is the first thing you do when you get hurt unjustly? It's the same as what you do when you come near a fire. When your hand comes near the fire, what do? You pull it back! Because you don't want to get burned. When people hurt you unjustly, what do? You pull back, you put walls up because you don't want to be hurt again. You don't trust them again. So forgiveness is a difficult thing to maintain. A forgiving heart is a difficult thing to maintain when you are getting hurt. Especially when you're getting hurt time and time again. And yet Peter asked that very question because he knew the heart of people. Lord, how many times should I forgive? And what did God say? What? Say that again? Yeah, does that make any sense to you? It doesn't to me. No, my human sensibilities say that's stupid. This is how it plays out in my mind. Hit me. Please forgive me. Yeah, I'll forgive you. Hit! Oh, I forgive you. That's how it plays out in my mind. They got about three. And after the third time, what? They're done. I'm writing them off. They're out of my life. I'm protecting myself. I won't trust them. Now, the reason I'm highlighting this is because there is much misunderstanding about biblical forgiveness. And people think that they should take the punch in the face, the punch in the face, the punch in the face, and they have to forgive without qualification. They believe they have to forgive as if it never happened. You know what? That's not biblical forgiveness. That is not biblical forgiveness. So we're going to try to walk through biblical forgiveness. So first of all, let's understand God's heart toward forgiveness. And let's define forgiveness. There are two words that are used in the New Testament to speak of forgiveness, and one you're not going to recognize with the root word to forgive. It means charis, which is joy. Charismatic. Joy. It's used and translated forgive. And that word has the idea to grant favor or to give a gift. To grant favor and give a gift. The other word that's used is aphemi, and it is the word to send away or to release. Now that's the one we're more familiar with. That word to release somebody from the debt they owe. To send it away. So, there are two words. One is to show favor to somebody, and the other one is to release them from a debt. So when we're talking biblical forgiveness, you have to what? Show favor toward that person and release them from a debt which they owe. Now the question is, are we responsible to do that? Romans 3:24, we find that God leans towards forgiveness. Being justified freely by His grace, that's that charis, being justified freely by His joy, by His gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by His charis, by His grace, by His forgiveness. We are justified by His forgiveness, aren't we? Yeah. We have, and through His redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, release them from what they owe. That one is a different word. But it's used, translated in English, the same word. Forgive, forgive. So in this one, he's saying, you need to forgive the debts because Christ has forgiven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, meaning we are to release them from what they owe. Ephesians 1:6-7. To the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The forgiveness of sins there is charis. I'm sorry, not charis. It's aphemi. Released from the debt. So God looks at you and joyfully leans towards wanting to forgive you for all of your sin. And then when you sin as a born again believer, if you are a Christian and you violate God, you know you offend Him, what is His posture to you? He's leaning towards you saying, I want to hold you. I want to forgive you. I joyfully give you forgiveness. That's important for us to remember. How many of you sinned this week? How many of you are frustrated at your sin this week? You're upset at yourself. And God says, I lean towards you to forgive you with joy. I lean towards you to release you of the debt. If we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to clean us up from all wrongdoing. That's His promise and that's His attitude towards us. Do you deserve it? Then why would you withhold forgiveness towards others? But I want to. I know. I don't want to hurt anymore. I understand. How many times do we hurt and grieve the Holy Spirit when we choose to sin? And what does He do? He leans towards forgiveness. So first of all, we should have a posture and attitude that leans towards those people who have offended us, leans towards trying to give them the offer and opportunity to be restored through forgiveness. So your attitude is crucial. If you're going to maintain a forgiving heart, you have to lean joyfully towards the offending brother wanting to forgive them. How many of you need to work on that? You know you're in violation of that attitude. You don't have that attitude. Okay, so you've got a decision to make already. Because that's the attitude He says you have to have. Now we're gonna peel the onion back. We can't just leave it there. We're starting with attitude, right? An attitude should govern your action, but the action should be governed by biblical truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So who is forgiveness offered to? Everyone. Who is forgiveness given to? Those who repent. Yeah. Those who say, I need it, I confess my sin, and I ask forgiveness. You must keep that in mind when you are dealing with people who offend you. Because if it's unqualified, I have to forgive with no qualification. The 70th time you get punched in the face, guess what's happening? You're dead. Because of bad theology. Okay? That's where the Meno Simons, the Mennonites, the pacifists have got it wrong. They believe you have to forgive to the point that if somebody was in beating your child up, physically beating your family up, you would have to stand there and not retaliate. You don't have the right to defend your family or yourself. And you have to forgive them. Hold it. God said, I took the punishment of your sin. But you cannot sin and continue in sin. When I spoke to the woman being charged with adultery, where they were ready to stone, it was, go and sin no more. Okay? So forgiveness has biblical requirements or expectations. Keep that in mind. It's God's nature then to forgive sin. In Nehemiah 9:16, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their hearts and hearkened not unto the commandments. And refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst amongst them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsooketh them not. Having a heart that leans towards forgiveness does not mean you condone bad behavior. Let me say that one more time. Having a heart that leans towards forgiveness does not mean you condone bad behavior. What did God do to the nation of Israel? He sent them off into captivity because of their vile, hard hearts. But He what? Was ready to pardon. Was gracious. Was merciful. Was wanting their reconciliation. He never gave up on them. We are never to give up on our relationships in our church family. I have a glorious, glorious family. I have a wife that sticks it out with me. She has to forgive me. I have to forgive her. We got to lean towards forgiveness. I have three daughters. One professes to not be a believer, follower in Jesus anymore. And I'm like, I have to lean towards reconciliation. I have to be gracious. Is there a division? Yes, she's rejecting my God. But I have to look and lean towards. I cannot condone her decision. I cannot condone her sin. But I love her and I am leaning towards mercy and grace and tenderness towards her. But I don't condone the rejection of Jesus Christ. I call it what it is. It's sin. It's going to damn her to hell. And she knows I believe that, and I tell her that. But she also knows, Dad loves me. Yeah, he's weird. He's wacko on those weird beliefs. But I know he loves me. Somehow we need to accomplish that when we are leaning toward, when we are working with those who offend us. Without repentance. There are those who are going to offend us without repentance. How do you deal with those? Moving on. Romans 5:10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. When we were enemies, God died for us. We need to show our love for the enemy. How are you doing on that one? The one that makes fun of you, the one that lies about you, the one that, how do I show love to them? Well, I lean towards forgiveness. But I don't grant forgiveness until there is what? Repentance. You can't give forgiveness if the person does not confess wrongdoing. But He gives conditions when you are dealing with it. He says, take the log out of your own eye before you deal with the splinter, speck, in your own eye. So we got to go with it with humility. But we have to have an attitude of our Lord and Savior. God forgives out of His mercy, grace, not because we deserve it. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:4-6. God forgives completely. In Psalm 103:10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And we all say what? Well, let me read that one more time. If you can't get that one, if you can't amen this one, you're in trouble. He hath not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as from the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Amen? That's good stuff. I need to hear that when I am a loser, when I am failing, when I am indulging and enjoying sin. I need to know, hold it, this is my Heavenly Father. He's not rewarding me according to my sin. He's rewarding me according to what? My righteousness in Jesus Christ. And that my sins, all sins, are removed. Are not to be held against my account of eternity and salvation. So how are we to respond to forgiveness? We are to lean into forgiveness ourselves. Not because those who sin against us deserve it. Do they? The answer is no. When people willingly, purposely hurt you, you need to lean into forgiveness and be ready to forgive. Because God forgave you when you were His enemy. He was prepared. He was ready for repentance. He was wanting it. Some of you have been hurt so deeply by the people who have hurt you, you don't want them to be forgiven. That is a sinful heart. We should grow in our maturity and our love to the point we want Hitler to be saved. Because Christ did. Christ died. And rose again. And offered salvation too. Now you take all of your historical figures. You take all the mean people in your life. You take the worst characters in your life. And God died for them. So when you start thinking you're justified in withholding a spirit and attitude of forgiveness towards somebody, you better remind yourself you're not. That's a sinful heart. That heart is getting hard towards God and His ways. Do not allow yourself to have an unforgiving attitude. Now believe me, you do have to withhold forgiveness. But there are two forms of forgiveness that are identified in the Scripture. There is what we, and this is a description to help you understand. Horizontal forgiveness and vertical forgiveness. Vertical forgiveness is, I release the debt over to God. Because God, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So releasing the debt of punishment, I give that over to God to take care of. That means I don't have to seek justice and make justice happen in that person's life. I let God take care of that. What does God tell me I have to do? Love my enemy. Be kind to them. Not seek their destruction. I forgive them in the sense I will not seek a pound for pound, flesh for flesh, eye for an eye. I'm not going to give that. I give that over to who? The Lord. I want them to be forgiven. I want to be reconciled, restored in relationship. But I can't do that until that person does what? Turns, asks forgiveness, and then there's restoration. But as they are turning away from me, and I'm like, God, crush them! God! Hey, have any of you wanted to pray that prayer? Yeah. You say, God, vengeance is yours. I leave them to your judgment. I trust your judgment. I trust you, Lord, and I leave them. And I will commit to being kind. I'll commit to not destroying their name in the community. I commit to not wanting to send them arsenic in the mail. You know, I give that to you. That's your keeping your relationship right with Jesus, right with God. On a horizontal, there's a condition. What's the condition? That they confess wrongdoing. All right. Let's look at the scriptures that back this up. Luke 17:3 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against you." Now this is when somebody's done something against you. Notice, rebuke him, and if he repent, what? Forgive. Aren't you glad that condition's there? Peter, how many times do I got to forgive? 70 times 7. But I'm going to get punched in the face 70 times. Jesus is using hyperbole to make a point. You need to judicially forgive them. You need to give vengeance over to God. How many times? 70 times 7. But you do not need to keep your face there to get punched 70 times 7. He says, you can be restored when he, what? Repents. You can give him forgiveness. And forgiveness given to a person is for the what purpose? To reconcile and be restored in your relationship. So when somebody sins against you, and that's what it is, sin. When somebody sins against you, he says, you rebuke him. I'm going to rebuke Brenda. Brenda, I texted you all this week and you did not text me back. I rebuke you. I was hurt and I was offended. And you would say what?
I did, but I erased service.
Oh, so you would excuse it. No, my point is, if that was truly a great offense, what should I do? I should come to Brenda and say, Brenda, do you not like me anymore? Did I offend you? That, I just want to say, you are not ministering to me. You made me guess all week whether you like me or not. And I would, and Brenda would say, grow up. Then we're not going to be restored. Because it was a true offense brought to her. But if she says, oh, Pastor, which I know Brenda, oh, Pastor, please don't think that. Huh? Please forgive me. This and this and this and this. No, I love you as pastor, and I'm sorry you felt that way. I didn't mean that at all. And she'd go out of her way to say, how can we fix this? You know how I know that? Because I've been her pastor for 8 years, and we have had times where there was miscommunication. I'd say, hey, did you get that? And she's like, goes out of her way to make it right. Amen? That's why we're still friends. As far as I know, I think we have right relations. I think I have. If I don't, if some of you are out there and I've offended you and I've done something, guess what? What's your responsibility? Come to me and tell me. And my responsibility is repent. Take it serious, ask forgiveness and say, I'll work on that or I won't do that again or, you know, take it serious. And if that's done, forgive him. Wow. By the way, does forgiveness is a gift you can give. Trust is not. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. Fariba, I want to earn your trust. I can love you and you can love me as the enemy. Right now I'm probably the enemy. And hopefully I get to the I'm a friend. And hopefully I get to I'm a trusted friend. But you know what? Trust is a gift. It's something that is earned. Forgiveness is a gift. You give it. But there is a condition for human relationship forgiveness. What is the condition? Repentance. That they hear it and they repent. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, you've gained a brother. What's the condition? He hears you. What's the implication of hearing you? He agrees with you and makes it right. Well, what happens if he doesn't hear you? You don't have a brother. Hey, we're brothers and sisters. Our church family, Satan does not like it that you are united. Does not like that you're there with each other. He doesn't like the fact that some of you families invite other families over to your house and you actually enjoy each other without roasting pastor. He doesn't like that. Now, if you're getting together to say how terrible your pastor is and how can we get rid of him? By the way, I've had that. I've been in a church where people have done that. Well, then Satan's like, yeah. But the fact that you guys get together and encourage each other to love Jesus more, that you share one another's burdens, you help each other with your equipment, sharing your facilities. You know, I have a beautiful, and this is a compliment, and I hope it's not, you know, I hope it's not making anybody jealous, but I'll have to compliment Sinclair's today. I'll try to spread it around, salt it around. But I had a rough pine piece of wood that needed to be planed and sanded down to the point that I could use it to make my wife her custom bathroom cabinet. And the work that was accomplished through the use of Sinclair's machinery took my work and cut it, I would say, 3 days off of my workload. Because doing that manually, easily. 3 days to make it right. 2 hours in, Jordan and I in, cut it up, run it through the planer, and run it through the sander, and we're done and we're home and it's done. Okay? Now, they didn't do that to be recognized. They did it because, Pastor, we want to be a blessing. Come on over. And by the way, that offer is not to everybody. I hope I didn't just say, yeah, if you've got a need, just go over to Mike and use his property while he's working. No, that was an exception he made for me. Out of love for me, and I want to just, hey, that's, but you guys are doing that. There's behind the scenes stuff like that going on. Do you think Satan's happy with that? Absolutely not. He wants you angry at each other. It's like, no, you've got to communicate. And when an offense comes up, and it does, you communicate. And when a brother hears, you forgive. Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, now here's something else. Therefore, if thou bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against you, now you've sinned against them, right? In their mind. You know that they're upset at you. Before it was, it was the reverse. Leave there the gift before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to the brother, and then come and offer your gift. In other words, your relationship with God the Father is broken if you know you've hurt people and don't care enough to make it right. Your prayers are hindered. Your fellowship, your reading of the Bible is going to be empty. Your prayers are not answered. He says that's how serious this is. So if you know that you've offended somebody, you need to go and say, I am sorry. That was thoughtless of me. That was careless of me. That was whatever. And you will be reconciled. And as you're reconciled with that brother, sister in Christ, you come back to the throne and you know you're reconciled with God. Wow, that's pretty heavy stuff. Pretty serious stuff. So the question is, do any of you, did the Lord bring to your mind the possibility you might have carelessly hurt somebody else and you just ignored it? You've been ignoring it. You're just kind of hoping it goes away. You don't have to show your hands on this one. A little more personal. Okay, what does God want you to do? Your relationship with God is on the line, and the relationship and the health of this church is on the line. You cannot make that party reconcile with you, but you can do your part. You can say, hey, I think I might have offended you. Which I did this. Did that hurt you? And if they say, oh, no, don't be silly, then you're off the hook. That's always great. But if they say, you know what, really did hurt me, really did offend me. I mean, you said I was fat. It happens. And it did offend me, but, and you can work it through, and then all of a sudden it's good, right? It's good. Take those things serious, because God does. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And sometimes you do it just to hurt the person.
Yeah, and if that's the heart, wow, God is upset.
That's pretty tough stuff.
Yes, it is. Luke 17:4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in that day against thee, saying, I repent, notice the condition, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, but maybe they just say, I repent, and I gotta forgive them. Maybe it's just lip service. Has anybody ever done that to you? Knowing you have to forgive them? Oh, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And then they go and do it again. And they go and do it again. All right. Well, you need to remember that the Bible says that we are to what? We are to bring forth fruit fit for repentance. Matthew 3:8 says, bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Matthew 7:20 says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. So when somebody repents, it's not just lip service. It's a change of behavior. So if the person who's saying, again, Jesus is using hyperbole to get a point across. He's not saying there's going to be somebody who does it 70 times in one day. He's saying your attitude should be this. But here's the qualifier. They need to have true acts of repentance. And that's when you can forgive. You don't have to trust, but you can forgive. And that person will work at earning the trust back. Don't confuse this and forgiveness. Consequence of bad behavior. You can forgive somebody without removing consequence. Let me explain real quick. If somebody comes to you after robbing your car, destroying the car, and you press charges on them, are you vindictive? You could be. You need to lean towards forgiveness. But God says, obey those that have the rule over you, which is government. And that's a criminal offense. You should press charges so that that person feels the weight and consequence of their behavior. As long as you can do it without vengeance. You're turning it over to God. Vengeance is mine. And God uses the government to accomplish justice. Make it real clear. If anybody abducted your child and they were a Christian, what would you do? Would you have to forgive them? Yes. Would you have to not press charges to prove you're forgiven? No. You would press charges for the sake of him, for the sake of society, for the sake of your child. And God has given you a tool called government for justice. There are some countries that don't have that, but in our country we have it. So you turn appeal to God's instrument of vengeance, which is what? Government. Government is established to what? Punish evil, reward good. I hope that helps you in your dealing with a forgiving heart and attitude. We're going to do a review and then a follow-up on the sermon next week. We can't cover it all in 1 week. It's pretty deep. It's pretty complex. Will you leave with a heart attitude leaning towards forgiveness? If you need to talk to somebody, do it. Take care of it quickly because your own prayer life is impacted. Lord, help us, please, all lean towards forgiveness. Help us to understand that punishment and justice, that's where we release the punishment to you. We give it over to you. We don't seek it ourselves. But leaning towards an attitude of kindness and mercy, and grace. That is our responsibility. Help us to walk in it. If we are the ones who have offended, help us to be quick and humble to admit our sin and to ask forgiveness and to repent, turn away from those behaviors which are hurting others. As we go to our fellowship meal, we pray that we would just have a wonderful time of encouraging Ariba, and that, Lord, you would work in her heart and help her to know what you want of her. Help her to know it so clearly. Give her a peace in her heart. But either way, may we continue to love her, stay in contact with her, to bear her burdens with her, to pray for her, and to hear her, and to just be there to talk to her. We want your will in her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.